Good afternoon and welcome to The Catholic Opinion. My name is Father Anthony Sumich, a priest of the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter, bringing you the show from the Catholic Diocese of Auckland. And let's begin today's show with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Welcome to our show, The Catholic Opinion. Happy and a holy Christmas to you all. We are, of course, now in the octave of Christmas, so Christmas continues for this entire 8 days, and of course it even goes all the way through to the 12 days of Christmas. So as Catholics, we continue our celebration all the way up, right through the period of time called Christmastide, but up to Epiphany, in which we keep up all of our Christmas decorations and have that great feeling of joy at the reminder that this is the time that our Lord and Saviour has come amongst the human race, shown himself eventually to the world and the three kings at the Epiphany, and that he has come to save all of mankind. So, as I said before, my name is Father Anthony Sumich, and I'm a priest of the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter. We are a Society of Apostolic Life, the FSSP, the Fraternitatis Sacerdotalis Sancti Petri, in Latin, the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter. And we have been operating in the church now for 36 years, and we have roughly just under 400 priests in the world, a couple of large major international seminaries. And even in a small country like New Zealand, we have a growing apostolate here in the city of Auckland, where we have been now for 8 years. With men in the seminary, young people attending our masses, they love the Latin Mass, they love the traditions of the Latin Mass and the things that it brings to all of us. So, with that having been said, if you do want some information about the work that we do here in Auckland, you can find it on our website or on our Facebook page. The website is fssp.nz. That's fssp.nz. And the Facebook page is FSSP Auckland. So any of that information about our Mass times, about our confessions, about the classes that we hold, and so on and so forth, you're very welcome to have a look at that. Please come along, visit us at St. Paul's College on Sundays at both 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock in the morning, the times of our Sunday Masses, and you'll experience the beauty of the traditional Latin Mass in the Diocese of Auckland. So although today is not the 25th of December, we still, as I said, are basking in the glow of Christmas throughout this entire octave, and in fact throughout the whole 12 days. I want us to meditate a little bit today on Christmas Day. I think it's really important that we keep Christ in Christmas. And not only that, understand that Christmas Day is a remembrance of the birth of Christ, but it is also the Mass of Christ, Christ Mass. And the Holy Mass is, of course, his giving to us of his own body and blood. The two are intimately connected, Christ's birth and Christ's death, and that the whole thing was planned by God before the beginning of time. So let's come away from the city and the world. Let's forget it for a while, and let's go back in memory a couple of thousand years back to Palestine, to little Bethlehem, the town of prophecy. We want to spend Christmas in a holy manner. We want to find our happiness in higher things than wealth can buy. So, we shut our eyes to the shops, to the theatres, to the presents, to the family gatherings even, and open them in Judah's princely town. It's midnight, and there is a hush and a holy calm. On the hilltops, watchful shepherds lie in solemn silence, guarding their sheep. In the crowded city, the tired people sleep at last. We pass through the deserted streets, past the inn that could find no shelter for the Virgin Mother, go through the eastern gate, and look out for the shepherd's cave. There is a vigil there. Joseph and Mary were at prayer when the Word made flesh dwelt among us. Heaven in earth. Do you not understand? Now at last the yearning of the Creator is being satisfied. He longed to lift men up to himself, to lift earth to heaven, and men would not be lifted up. Rather, they sank lower and lower. But the infinite love did not tire, nor grow cold. It watched and waited, and at last stooped down and touched the earth with heaven. God became man, became a little child. Justice and mercy kissed, and the result was peace to men of goodwill. Eternal peace between heaven and earth. Now men would be lifted up. Now they would join their hands and, raising their eyes to heaven, say, Our Father, who art in heaven. No man hath seen the Father but the Son. And he, the little newborn child, was to explain him to men. He was to explain him by the winning ways of his babyhood, by the graces of his boyhood, by the breaking heart of his manhood. He was to captivate human souls. With his human love, he was to win them and, holding them fast, show them that loving him, they were loving God. So Christmas Day became the earthly birthday of divine love. What then does this birth mean? This opening flower of infinite, eternal love? To us men, it means a copious redemption, an heirloom of graces, the beginning of unending companionship, a divine brotherhood, a pledge of eternal life. To Mary, it meant great joy, sorrow unsurpassed. To St. Joseph, a mystic fatherhood, the highest trust upon earth. To Jesus, the great little one, it meant overflowing love. And what love always brings, sorrow, suffering, and sacrifice. Let us come near to this dear little one. Let us kiss his tender hands and feet before they are wrapped in the swaddling bands. Let us try to meet the look of love in his eyes with an answering look of love. He holds nothing back from us. He is all ours. Are we prepared to be as sweeping in our sacrifices? Today, on his birthday, we can surely refuse him nothing. If the silent lips ask, can we refuse? If the baby heart is set upon something that we can give, shall it not have it? He comes in so winning a form, fearing no repulse. Is our heart proof against such confidence? The midnight hours pass. The light of early day creeps into the dark cave. Streaks of sun rays find their way upon the dark wall and gild Mary's hair as she stoops over the little stone manger. Presently, a trampling of feet is heard without. Then there comes a sudden stop, then a low whispering. And then the sun's gleams cease for an instant, and dark figures penetrate the cave. They are the shepherds from the neighboring hills, and they come, angel bidden, to see the word that was come to pass that the Lord has shown them. With wondering awe, they draw near to Mary's side and, kneeling by her, adore their Savior, Christ the Lord. What a beautiful sight the angels saw that Christmas morning. All that was fairest upon earth was there. The little king holding his court with the queen mother by his side. Joseph, foster father and guardian, silent in his adoration. The courtiers, simple, humble souls, so ready to obey when the message came from above. In the world's eyes, these were common people of the peasant class, surrounding an ill-built manger where a newborn baby lay, nursed by a young mother. But we will not think of the world today. We will keep our minds fixed on the mystery wrought. As the day advances, other simple souls come flocking in from the mountains and hamlets, the shepherds' wives and children mostly, and herdsmen from other parts. They too, in silent rapture, adore the newborn king. Meanwhile, the story of the wonderful night is told again and again, and the good folk listen and wonder at those things that are told them by the shepherds. But Mary keeps all these words, pondering them in her heart. She welcomes sweetly every newcomer and presents the divine child to each. But her thoughts are upon mysteries unknown to any but herself and the tiny babe upon her lap. Evening comes, and the shepherds take their leave. They kiss the infant hands and bid farewell to Mary and Joseph. Then, standing on the threshold of the cave, with the cool air fanning their foreheads, they cast back one last look upon the infant face that has made such a change in their lives, and return to their mountainside, glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Did you ever think what glorious men these shepherds were? They were chosen out of the million by God, by the God who cannot err, to come and adore him. They must have had special qualities to endear them so to their Creator. We see them on the hillside, faithfully watching. We see them surrounded by the brightness of God. We see the angel give them his message and invite them to the king's first court upon earth. We hear the rapt songs of the angel choirs singing, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace to men of goodwill." We see them deliberate among themselves, saying, "Let us go over to Bethlehem, and let us see this word that has come to pass, which the Lord has shown us." Then we see them set off with haste and come into the divine presence. Not a minute's doubt as to the angel's word darkens their minds. Not an earthly consideration keeps them back. They leave the sheep that they have tenderly watched all the cold night to take care of themselves. They have a higher call, and God is first in their hearts. And so good a use do they make of their visit to the manger that they leave the heavenly presence in ecstatic joy, glorifying and praising God. Who would not envy them, their sheepskins and their poverty? They understood the word the Lord had shown them. Theirs was that spiritual insight given to a privileged few of God's holy ones, which is worth more than all the world can give. Let us ask them to pray for us, that one day such a gift may be ours too. Now, what is the practical outcome of all this? We cannot stay with Jesus and Mary and Joseph in the manger, or with our blessed Lord in the sacrament of his love. We attend or hear our three masses, receive Holy Communion, linger at the crib, making our thanksgiving there. But we must return to our own world as the shepherds did. And how are we to return? Praising and glorifying God as they did? Singing Gloria in Excelsis Deo as did the angels? This is our lesson today. To have joy in our minds, praise on our lips, love in our hearts, love for all mankind, and especially those nearest us. For charity begins at home, we hear so many people say. But very often the proverb is reversed. Many feel acutely for neighbours or strangers who are callous to their own relations. This is mistaken charity. These things you ought to have done and not left those undone, our Lord said. Those nearest to us often try us, fret us, worry us. And if we are patient, we think we are heroic. One step further would make us so and cost but little more. It takes more out of us to be merely patient than to be tenderly loving. For love soothes us and our neighbour and overcomes friction. Let us throw our hearts open wide to all as our blessed Lord himself did. A wide love must be a pure love, for it must be unselfish. With such a love, we should take our neighbour's faults for granted, look for ingratitude, take selfishness as a matter of course. Then we should not be charitable on business principles, expecting our money's worth with the interest. We should give and not count the cost. Look for no return here below, but leave the revenue part of it to our Lord. So we turn homeward with the intention of spreading joy everywhere, smoothing away difficulties, being sunbeams in the house, or the shop, or the school, wherever our lot is. And doing it all for the love of the babe, Jesus, who has won our hearts this day and forever. While contemplating these mysteries, the mysteries of Christmas, sometimes we need to slow ourselves down to the point whereby we envision in our own mind the picture in that cave, the picture of the cold that was so biting in the air. But at the same time, we need to picture Mary. She is the one who is the central figure, along with her son, in this divine act. Our Lord would not have taken flesh were it not for her fiat, her yes, I will, those 9 months ago. And then we need to fast forward into the cave and see Our Lady contemplating her child, her divine child, in the manger. For this would have been the first time that Mary had seen her son. The first time our Lord has used his eyes to look at her face. How his eyes must have ached for a sight of Mary, his mother. We can even ask the question, would he have been able to talk? As a child, of course, the children are unable to talk because they have not learned to talk. But with the Christ child, this is not an issue. Christ can control his tongue because of this person that he is, a divine person, a human person, of course, but also divine, and having full control over all knowledge and all understanding, even in his birth and his infancy, how his eyes must have looked into the eyes of his mother. In her arms, he can only half see her. So for both their sakes, it is better he should be at a little distance. Then again, perhaps he wants to see St. Joseph and all that he has done for the comfort of Mary and himself. Of course, he knows it already, but not by human means. And this is what he came for, to lead me by human means to his Father. It would only have been for a few moments. He need be laid in the manger, for he sees everything so quickly. How his eyes change as he looks into the eyes of his mother. What an infinite love is in them. He holds out his little hands to her. He must know her through those two, and in her, he knows us. Then, as he stretches out his arms to his mother, she takes him to her breast, and the few moments of separation have but added to the fervor of her embrace. Hail Mary, the first object of the human eyes of Jesus. Beg him to cast those loving eyes on me. Full of grace, both natural and spiritual, the object of the eyes of Jesus. The Lord is with thee. Thou hast him all to thyself, and yet thou art anxious that we should share him with thee. Because it was for us thou didst bring him forth. Please keep me near him also, him always. Blessed art thou among women, in the sight and hearing and near presence of the source of all blessing. Share thy blessedness with me. I have thought of him so little. Now, at least, I wish to know him and to love him with my eyes, my hands, my lips, and my whole person. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, who is, of course, the cause of all our joy. Holy Mary, Mother of God, and my Mother, show me thy Son, that I may love him, and that nothing may ever come between us. Pray for us sinners, for me, so careless, so forgetful of thy Son. Pray for me, lest having known I may forget him and let self come in again. Now, as I see my Jesus, now that I have turned to him and need all thy tender love to keep me in his sight, and at the hour of my death, that then I may never leave him, but be with him forever. Amen. O Lord my God, why cannot I give you the little you are asking of me? It is so little, and yet I hesitate. It will cost me a little restraint. Take it, Lord, for your mother's sake. Make me so full of love that I shall no longer hesitate. O Jesus, fill me with your own resignation, your own detachment. Draw me to you. I will try to work for you and to forget myself. Truly, we have lost our way when we no longer regard Christmas for the true reason it is, that it is the birth of our own Saviour, the Saviour of the human race so lost, so much living and embracing the darkness, and yet every year we have this commemoration in memory of how much our Creator loves us. It's a love story. It's a familial love story, and it is a familiar love story. God so loved the world that He gave His own Son, and His Son took flesh and dwelt among us. How can we hate Him? How can we hate the story? It is true. He came, He grew, He conquered, and He conquered from the cross. The ultimate sign of His love for us. No soft clothes, no soft beds, no soft life. A life lived full of love. Not just sayings, not just wise words, not just advice of how to treat others, but an entire way in which our life needs to be oriented. God's own fatherly lesson for us, His children. But not even being satisfied with that, He chose that Christ would become one of us, that we become His siblings. He has elevated the human nature. He's elevated everything about it out of love. Oh, the mystery of Christmas, the mystery of the Incarnation, the mystery of Christ's constant humility. And the lesson remains. It has never changed. God loves us. He wants us to be with Him. But in order to do so, we need to imitate Christ, starting with the child. We need to love as a child does. We need to trust as a child trusts. We need to believe as a child believes. All of these things He pointed out to us. If you will be like one of these little ones, you will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, it's Christmastide. Let us go to the foot, then, of that crib. Let us kneel down, cast our eyes onto the child in the crib, put ourselves back 2,000 years and be in that cave, looking at that child and his most glorious mother and foster father, and humble ourselves. This is what it is to have faith. It's a test. We have faith in so many other foolish and worldly things, but no, He wants us to have faith in love. The love of a Creator, the love of a God for His own creatures. No man can make this up. No other religion even has come close. None of them could consider the idea that infinity, having created the finite, loves the finite and loves them with all He has. Let us pray for our world. Let us pray for those who do not believe, especially, because the darkness does not want the light to penetrate it. If the light penetrates the darkness, all can see, and all will know their way to their ultimate destination. And those who embrace the darkness could never stand us. So let's conclude today's show with a prayer of thanksgiving to Almighty God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. May God bless you in this happy season of Christmas, keep you, and we hope to see you in church this coming Sunday. God bless.